there's a number of new members of this committee, and I really would appreciate it if the officials can be introduced to us. Thanks.
Maybe let's go around and get the officials to introducing themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe even us as members. Yeah. Sometimes we make an assumption that we are known when we are not sometimes. My name is Makosi Khoza. I'm the new chair of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Maina Lesoma, member of the committee. Thank you.
Desiree van der Walt, lid van die committee.
Morning, Sejan Motopo Mutau, a member of the committee.
Sally Jongbloed, member of the committee. Thanks.
Joseph Kessen, member of the committee.
Mervyn Dags, member of the committee.
Dumelang Kina Mabatu Mukause, Kililokula committee.
Good morning, I'm Fanan Manugu from the DPSA.
Okay. Maybe let me give the honorable member as well to introduce himself.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for having arrived late. My name is Madalan Dombela, member of the committee.
Sorry, ma'am, over to you again.
Good morning, I'm Fanan Manugu from the DPSA.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kenny Govender with the Department of Public Service and Administration.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Marshal Teddy Kofa, also from the Department of Public Service and Administration.
My name is Ben Mtembo, Deputy Chairperson of the Public Service Commission.
Good morning, my name is Kulofelo Sidibe, Deputy Director General, PSC.
My name is Dovani Mampiswana from the Public Service Commission.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Jay Morar, I'm from the Government Pensions Administration Agency.
Morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Dries de Wet, and I'm the Vice Chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Government Employees Pension Fund.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Kidima Diehe. I'm from Government Pensions Administration Agency.
Morning, Madam Chair. My name is Audrey Fanica, and I'm from the Government Employees Pension Fund.
Morning, Honourable Members and Chairperson. My name is Bongani Matebula from the PIC.
Morning, Honourable Members and Officials. My name is Dion Bueta. I'm also from the PIC.
Morning, Chair. My name is Tim Bekile, Flaky, PLO, National Treasurer.
Good morning, members, Chair, colleagues. My name is Tadim Gomezolo from National Treasury.
How is that? People at the back? Okay. You're done.
Abongwe Kobakana from the SABC News.
Okay, sure, thank you. Listen, I would request that, ma'am, if you can sit this way so that I can see you if you wanted to speak. Otherwise, this pillar is on my side. It's a very strange room. I don't like it. Deputy Chair. If you could, again, once more, let the lady to proceed.
Before that, probably PSC should advise us that we didn't hear the approach of the chair. From where we're sitting, the chair has been confirmed. It probably would be appropriate to get an apology statement. Thank you.
No, I'm not aware. I was just asked yesterday to come in here. I was informed by the DG. Thank you.
Oh, okay. It's a strange relationship you have. You get instruction from the DPG. No, Deputy Chair, I'm joking. No. I know that you have a good arrangement. I trust that you do have. Yes, DDG?
Thanks, Chairperson. Indeed, the Chairperson of the Public Service Commission would like to ask me to pass his apologies to the Chair of the Committee because he was engaged at the National Office on something that he had prior arranged.
Okay, no problem. Let's move on. Over to you, ma'am. You were present then.
Yes.
Yeah, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. I think the presentation before you was presented in the past, but we have attempted to update it in response to questions that were raised before. Since the machinery does not work, I do not know if all of us have the presentation where two slides are printed per page. Do we all have the presentation on? Oh, okay, so sure. I'll go by slide and I'll say slide one, slide two. Thank you very much. Okay, if I may request for permission, Chairperson, that we start on slide three of the presentation, which broadly provides for the mandate of the PSC that indicates why the study was conducted. It falls within our constitutional mandate, especially section 1964 that empowers the PSC to investigate, monitor, evaluate and propose measures and give directives. When we go to slide four, we indicate the problem statement. It emanates from 2013 to 2015 where the PSC received numerous complaints from public service retirees and beneficiaries of deceased public servants. The complaints were about experienced delays in pension payouts and other related benefits by employer departments and GPA. The PSC also noticed that there was a trend in the media where some of the complainants would approach the media to complain about similar matters. And we therefore phrase the problem statement as the non-adherence to timeframes for pension payouts as set out in the pension law and the Government Employee Pensions Law of 1996 as amended, which stipulates that pension payouts must be paid within 60 days after the submission of all necessary documentation. When we proceed to slide five, the overall purpose of the study was to determine the extent of non-adherence to timeframes for pension payouts as set out in the pension law through a holistic assessment of the management of service termination and pension payouts in the public service. And the specific objectives were to determine the underlying causes to delays in the processing of service terminations and pension payouts, to identify challenges experienced and best practices, to investigate the impact of pension payout delays on the welfare of former employees or their dependents and beneficiaries, to investigate the role of all stakeholders, including institutions responsible for the management of pensions. In our methodology, we largely followed a qualitative approach to research, because we were not really seeking to provide quantification as to how many people were paid when, but we were trying to understand the challenges and the underlying causes. But obviously in the process, we also wanted to understand the extent of the problem. 40 of the national departments were sampled. However, 28 departments participated in the study. And in the report, we do indicate that our focus was on big and strategic departments. That would be your DPSA, your correctional services, SAPS, and so forth. And we also sampled 9 provinces. However, 8 provinces were represented by 85 of the 114 provincial departments participated. Mpumalanga did not participate due to human and financial resource constraints. This means in total we had 113 of a possible of 158 departments nationally and provincially, which is a highly representative sample. Secondary data was collected through a literature review assessment on the subject of service termination and the applicable legislative frameworks. We also obviously obtained primary data through interviews held in particular with HR practitioners in all the departments that participated. We also engaged GPA officials. We were able to interview 91 retirees and beneficiaries or dependents that were accessed through the GPA Client Service Center in Pretoria. I think it's important to note the limitations of the study. Due to lack of funds, the office found itself facing, it was not possible for the PSC to visit retirees and or beneficiaries who are based in rural areas for engagement to ascertain the impact or challenges they experience with pension payouts. Many of the retirees who were assisted by the Public Service Commission to resolve their complaints and challenges were not willing to discuss the impact of the delays once their problems were sorted out. And we say here, in terms of research ethics, we are not in a position to force people to participate in a research study, especially if they suspect that we might be someone else pretending to be the PSC because they have received their payouts. And we conclude that despite these limitations, the information gathered from the various participants and other sources was sufficient to identify and understand the challenges experienced and to make the findings and recommendations on this matter. Our key findings with respect to objective one, the underlying causes for service termination, delays in service termination and pension payouts, we look at departmental capacity, its lack of formal training, and here we refer to structured training within departments on service termination and pension processes for HR practitioners, noting that some of the experienced officials in these areas might have retired or resigned. There is a heavy reliance on supervisors, experienced fellow employees, and GPA officials to conduct the on-the-job training whilst having their own workloads and also not being trainers by profession, which results in such officials giving less attention to the on-the-job training that is needed. The implications of the lack of formal training and the ad hoc on-the-job training, as illustrated by pension application forms that are submitted to GPA with errors, results in them being returned to departments for corrections and amendments, which further delays the finalization of payouts. The departmental management of beneficiary profiles, it still falls within the area of departments. Regardless of departmental efforts to annually remind employees to update their beneficiary profiles, some employees fail to nominate legal or legitimate beneficiaries. In some instances, employees do not declare all their children, and if GPA becomes informed of them, the whole process comes to a standstill until evidence proving their paternity or maternity is presented, and that contributes to delays as well. In some instances, employees would nominate children who are not known to their spouses, then their spouses will contest against the payment. This also contributes to delays. With respect to records management, departments are responsible for keeping all records about each and every employee, while GPA is responsible for keeping records related to pension contributions and payouts. There are instances where employees' records within departments have contradictory information regarding the years of pension contribution, as captured by GPA. Such would cause some delays and departments will be busy trying to resolve the problem. Such challenges were experienced with documentation from the former TVB States employees. Departments' filing systems are not in order or unclear documents that are submitted to GPA have a negative impact on the pension payout processes. As such, the challenges would obviously lead to documentation being sent back and forth. Customary and civil marriages disputes. Some employees who are in customary marriages would get involved in a civil marriage without the knowledge of the two wives. In the case of death, where an employee did not update his beneficiary profile, this results in legal battles as GPA would require proof of the marital status of both partners. Some employees do not nominate beneficiaries because of fear that their family members might wish them dead and or kill them. In this regard, in the event of death and in some instances, close and remote relatives of the deceased complicate the payout process by trying to claim the benefits for themselves or claim to act on behalf of ill-informed descendants and dependents. The implications of not updating pension beneficiary forms and not sorting out issues pertaining to marriage and living arrangements by employees contribute greatly to delays in pension payouts. Awareness of the service termination and pension payout processes. When we engaged, especially with the 91 who were willing to answer the questions, 68% of the retirees indicated that they were aware of the processes for pension payouts. This information was provided by their departments, and they were getting feedback from GPA on progress with their applications. However, 32% indicated that they were not informed by their departments nor GPA about the progress of the payout processes and the challenges that might be encountered. The lack of awareness of the processes leads to application forms not being properly completed and insufficient supporting documentation being submitted to GPA. This will surely delay the pension payout process, as we have noticed. Feedback communication from GPA to stakeholders. The study reveals that feedback on process, on progress and problems is received by retirees and beneficiaries only when they call or walk into the GPA offices. The problems range from incomplete forms, incorrectly completed forms, unclear bank stamps, and or inconsistencies related to the details of the applicants against the banking details indicated in the forms. The e-channel requirement, which is a system introduced by GPA, it was revealed that all departments are supposed to be using the system. However, the infrastructure requires that the bandwidth should be strong, and we discovered that some of the departments do not necessarily have this infrastructure and they still rely on people driving to and fro, or they rely on the client liaison officers from GPA to submit forms. The structure of departments also contribute. Centralized HR processes for big departments create problems for the completion of the pension payout process. The greatest challenge is with those regional offices in the deep rural areas where there is poor or no internet connection and post office services take place once or twice a month. In trying to address this problem, the PSC was informed that GPA has introduced mobile offices which cater for the needs of rural areas. All provinces use the mobile office service. In small to medium provinces, there is one mobile office, and the bigger provinces have two. Information about the routes of these mobile offices is sent to Premier's offices and also advertised through the local media. Other challenges related to divorce. In some cases, the retirees will contest the lesser amount they receive for getting the condition of the divorce decree that allows for a 50% sharing, thus creating a debt for the retiree. Medical aid, according to the provisions of GPF's member guide, when an employee has completed 15 years of service and above, they are entitled to post-retirement subsidy of medical aid. If there are delays in the submission of the pension payout claims, this will have a negative impact on the processing of post-retirement medical aid benefits. with respect to challenges, the major issues that we are indicating there on slide 16 is the reluctance or refusal by employees to submit or resubmit the required documentation. And this would obviously be clear in instances of younger employees who later get married and they have kids but they forget to update. Difficulty in obtaining beneficiaries or family members of deceased employees' information in case where children are minors and no adult is nominated to act as a guardian. The unavailability of good working scanners for HR officials to scan documents for submission to GPA to avoid rejection of applications due to non-availability of supporting documents. The unavailability of GPA-aligned liaison officers sometimes when needed due to their commitments, since they service several departments, also contributes to delays. With respect to GPA, we said some employer departments do not use the e-channel system but rely on the CLOs to submit forms to GPA, and GPA is depending upon the employer departments to provide accurate information. All these challenges obviously have a negative impact on the 60 days turnaround time, and they create inconsistencies regarding payments. The best practices that we were able to identify relates to the National School of Government and the Department of Defense. With respect to the NSG and they have a program that enables them to identify prospective retirees, and a notification is sent to everybody, and these people are engaged in workshops so that they can be assisted not just in completing the forms preparing for their retirement, but they are also given advice on financial health, wellness, and other relevant topics. The program is also extended to beneficiaries of the retirees to inform them about the importance of a smooth transition from work to retirement. At the Department of Defense, the nature of the work of the officials there is such that a decision was taken by the leadership that employees who are due for retirement should be reskilled so they may still be active in society. An amount of 15,000 is allocated for each retiree to be reskilled and be prepared for retirement. And we found that this is a normal practice that is considered ideal in international literature. Okay, I think I will proceed to slide number 19, the impact of pension payout delays on the welfare of retirees. We found that some retirees' medical aids were cancelled due to non-payment of monthly subscriptions. Some retirees or beneficiaries of deceased employees could not feed their families, pay for children's school, and or lost their possessions. Other retirees became victims of loan sharks and found themselves in deep financial crisis, which was worse than when they were working. Some descendants and dependents of retirees in trying to help the situation ended up in criminal activities. It should be noted that some employees, again, who were assisted by the PSC, and some of them are the same who suffered, who were impacted in this manner, once they had their payouts, were unable to cooperate with us. The PSC, I think if we can indicate, we dealt with a case of dependents who had been waiting for the payout for their father for a period of 10 years, which then resulted in the kids in those families stopping to go to school, and life became extremely hard. And the question was, what then for them once they receive the money? The role played by the stakeholders, it's very clear what GPA's role is. They manage and administer pension payouts and other benefits. They rely on information provided to them by departments, and departments rely on employees providing accurate information at all times. The banks are responsible for the verification process of declaring whether the bank accounts provided where the monies should be deposited really belong to those people whose details are provided. This is something that is done by GIPA itself and not by departments. SARS is responsible for collection of tax. Before any payouts can be made, GPA has to contact SARS to check if the employee does not have outstanding taxes. So the process is not as straightforward as we would like it to believe it is, but we believe that if employees are aware of the role played by all of those parties, they can also ensure that their papers are in order even before they hand in their retirement papers and leave. The recommendations, we said there has to be structured, planned and compulsory training for HR personnel, especially those responsible for pension payouts. I think the training here, we are not just talking about people assisting people to complete forms, but it is also about them understanding the broader spectrum of the legislative framework, including that which governs GPA. GPA, in collaboration with departments, should create a database of unclaimed pension benefits by dependents or beneficiaries and employ a tracing agent to find departments or beneficiaries and process their claims. Departments should submit details of pension members or beneficiaries who have not claimed their pension to GPA to add to the work of the tracing company. This is the recommendation made then. And big national departments such as labor, water and sanitation, and I think the same would apply to correctional services, that have regional offices across the country should decentralize some of the HR functions, especially processes related to service termination and pension payout. Departments in collaboration with GIPA and SARS should implement awareness campaigns continuously for the benefit of newly appointed employees and long-term serving employees to ensure a thorough understanding of the processes, income tax issues and legislative changes. Where possible, dependents and or beneficiaries should be invited to the information sessions with the consent of the pension member. Departments should also set aside financial resources to upgrade their IT systems to enable them to have something that is compatible with the GPA e-channel. Departments and GIPA must collaborate to put in place a strategy to communicate with and provide feedback and support to retirees, dependents, and beneficiaries until finalization of the payout process. The overall conclusion for the study is there are challenges in some departments that lead to delays in the processes of service termination and pension payouts, even though they are not in a big scale. However, the impact of those challenges is huge where they exist and severe to the retirees and their dependents and beneficiaries, especially where they are deceased employees. The impact tends to be extremely high because nobody really knows what to do. Challenges are not caused by the absence of policies and procedures, but the human factor and historic challenges of record management, especially from the TVB states. HR practitioners are aware of the role they play in managing beneficiary profiles, but there is an acknowledgement of limited powers as they cannot force individual employees to nominate beneficiaries, and they cannot even verify if the information provided is accurate. Retirees and dependents or beneficiaries of deceased members must be supported in completing and submitting pension withdrawal applications to GIPA. Media briefing, okay, this is the progress update. Since this report was finalized, there was a media briefing by the PSC to create a platform to popularize the findings and the recommendations of the study, thereby raising awareness among retirees and beneficiaries. The PSC did engage with GIPA on the findings and recommendations, and this resulted in a decision to assign a special channel for PSC to forward complaints received. The PSC received approximately 300 cases which were forwarded to GIPA, and about 80% of those have been resolved and some are still being attended to. There was also an engagement between PSC, GIPA, and the leadership of SAPS, because many of the complaints received after the media briefing came from SAPS retirees and beneficiaries. GIPA has incorporated some of the PSC's recommendations in their strategic approach in addressing some of the challenges identified by the PSC, and the PSC continues to receive complaints from affected parties, and these are forwarded to GIPA as per arrangement. And obviously PSC and GIPA, we engage on a regular basis to monitor progress on the cases that have been submitted. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There you are, members. Are there any questions? Honorable Soma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Probably let's say thank you for the presentation, but also I must say, Chair, that up front, that looking at the people that have been interviewed and the profiling, lacking for a better way, Chair, of the problem, I'm not too sure whether it does warrant that. That's one. Two, also, that speaks to say in terms of GIPA and also DPSA in particular. We are not doing much to educate our exiting employees. Because even the last page of your presentation, ma'am, through you, Chair, Honorable Chair, it talks about media briefing. Honestly, do you think that you would have done enough in terms of popularizing the GIPA processes and all that and the challenges thereof based on the study, that everybody would have watched? Probably because media briefing is where you look at the TV and see people talking, and there was no engagement. The point I'm driving at, through you, Chair, DPSA and GIPA, and at a lower level in terms of PIC, there should be a very modernized communication strategy to the potential beneficiaries, and also taking into account the regional most used language. Because if you text a person, it's only English for now, unfortunately. Hopefully somebody is going to rescue us in terms of the IT also to be able to communicate in our language, most used languages. Because most of those ones who doesn't have problem are those ones who can read, who can write, who knows where to go. And I'm saying as a current government, I think there should be something that needs to be done. It cannot be as business as usual. I must repeat, Chair, the study is very, like, confined in the very tiny number of a sample that we're using. But also it's our responsibility as this committee to make sure that we also take care of those ones, regardless of how many they are. The other one, Chair, that the slide, the presentation doesn't talk to, it does indicate that in 2015 there was quite a number of pension payout where mostly public sector in terms of education, teachers were pocketing their pension. One would love to hear the turnaround time of paying those pensions. I want to compare the class issue in terms of who do we take care of. Are those ones who knows how to prevent themselves, or and those ones who can't present themselves, then they're left in the cold. Chairperson, the other one also which worries me, through you, Chair, to DPSA, when are we going to be robustly with also Treasury to deal with the upskilling our IT system so that it gives us accurate information? We have been crying at this committee in terms of PASA, and we're told that Treasury is the one who is the custodian in terms of ensuring that that project does see the light of the day, because we can save a lot of money if our systems are on speed. But also we're moving towards e-government, but also what we do, also we do our business as usual. We like to maintain the status quo so that we delay paying our potential beneficiaries, so to speak, Chair. The other one that I would love to talk to, I'm not going to make reference to the pages, but also the issue, it cannot be correct at this time to be advised that our employees can't deliver their services expected to the beneficiaries because they're not skilled, which means our work skills plan is not up to scratch because there must be a deliberate succession plan, so to say, without promising a person that is going to be replaced by so and so, but to say when that person leaves, the organization doesn't come to a stop still. And I'm sure DPSA is also taking note of that, Chairperson. Let me stop there for now, Chair, because I'm not too sure how many minutes are you giving us before I go down with everything. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mwetao.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, there is a lot to talk about here, but let me thank first the presentation. It reveals a lot of things which are quite important, but let me see if I can put it in perspective. Most, if not all, of the people who work for government in various sections and stuff like that work for a long, long time, and one of the things that makes them stay there is the pension. So if at the end of that 30 years, 20 years, 40 years, somebody has to go through some of these things that we are being exposed to, it must be quite devastating. One of the things I have indicated previously is that we get a lot of complaints from people who are state pensioners who say they don't get statements on a yearly basis as to where they are, what they are, and stuff like that. And I think that has a lot to do with these gaps that you find at the end. Because if they were getting regular annual statements of what their status was, these things could be picked up and something could be done about them. Let me see if I can clarify this. Every year, as a member of parliament on the pension fund of parliament, I get statements telling me exactly where the situation is, where I would be if I were to resign now or retire now or whatever. GIPA doesn't seem to do that. And I think that's a big, big, big gap that needs to be addressed, this regular correspondence with the thing. Anyway, let me go to something, just curiosity on my part. When you were looking at the methodology, you referred to Mpumalanga did not participate due to human and financial resource constraints. Could somebody say that in English? What does it mean? They didn't have people, don't have money. Why? Because this, to me, is not something, it's not an optional thing. The other thing that is, it's a perennial for me, under recommendations, and as I say, there's a lot I can raise, but these are the key things that I think I should just draw attention to. Structured, planned, and compulsory training of all HR processes, We know we've got a report about the HR problems and stuff like that, and department stuff like that. My question is always the same one. Yes, we have identified the problem. Yes, we know what needs to be done. Can this planned compulsory training of all HR processes be done, and how can the PSC make sure that it happens given that we don't have enforcement powers? We can't tell people to do things, and if they don't do them, we can't take action against them. For me, that's another one of those things that indeed leads to some of these problems that we are discussing here today. I'll stop there, and other members have issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutau.
Honorable Niaut, Tranche. I note you, ma'am. I note you. Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Also, my word of thanks for the presentation. I also would like to know numbers. And I think I just also add to some of the questions that has been asked. I see that 85 out of 144, that's about 59%, 60%. Is that enough of a sampling? Can we analyze and do a wider survey? I also would like to know the reason 28 out of 44 departments were involved. Why only 28? Why not all? Why not all of the departments? I would like to add to what Honorable Lesoma said, or then her question. Out of the total number, or what is the total number of retirees who has been paid out already? And also, how many is not... Okay, thanks, sorry, the interpreter was just checking. How many of the retirees has been paid out, and what is the number of them that has not been paid out? You know, people wait for 10 years, for example, for a pension payout. That doesn't get picked up. Why would something like that happen? What is being done about that? What do we do after 1 year of a delay? So I would like the total amount of retirees divided into how many has been paid and how many has not been paid, and is that research available? Just 1 second here, there's one more question. Ah, got it, thank you. Jeepa, I've only joined this committee since last year, March. I'm still not very clear. Jeepa, how long has that structure been in existence? How is that structured? Does every province have a Jeepa? And can these structures track how many people have been paid, how many has not been paid, how many are retiring in total, etc., etc.? And if not, then what would be the reason for that? The question that I couldn't get just now. Before a person retires, way before, is there no advice? You will soon be retiring, let's say in a year's time or 6 months' time. These are the documents you require. Who are your official beneficiaries, etc., etc., etc. Like the Honourable Member said, in that person's language, so that they can be completely clear before they even retire. We cannot hear year after year, year after year, that there's no capacity. No. We need to do something. We've got to build that capacity so that each person who retires knows what to do and gets their money when it's due to them. So that the payout happens on time and there are no delays. Chair, thank you very much. That is it for me now.
Thank you very much. Honourable Makaus, I also noted Honourable Kasim. Did you have your hand up, Honourable Yonglok? You did? Oh, okay, okay. All right, you'll follow after Honourable Kasim. Over to you, ma'am. And Honourable Ntombela, you'll follow after Honourable Yonglok. You are going to be patient with me. If I pronounce your name wrong, please correct me. I'm going to get it right. I do try to be a fast learner, you know? Okay. Yes, Honourable Ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me draw your attention to the number of departments who participated in the sort of the survey. You mentioned that 28 departments participated in the study. I just want them to enlighten us as to which are those departments who participated, so that we just get an idea of who participated and who did not participate. And also reiterate on the issue raised by my colleague here about Mpumalanga province that did not participate in the study. I believe that it has actually disadvantaged the beneficiaries themselves. I don't know which measures or which steps have you taken to actually assist in this process or to bring on board the province or provinces that did not participate in the study. Chairperson, the presentation indicates that there's a lack of capacity at provincial level and district level. And of course, after so many years, do we really have to hear this, that documents come from provinces or comes from district level incomplete? Documents come from banks and the stamps are blank or they are no longer visible. It clearly shows that documents are piled at provinces, documents are piled at regional or district offices, and that disadvantages the beneficiaries themselves. A person works for so many years, and wait yet, in this case, for 10 years for their pension payout. It's unacceptable. Something must be done. And we cannot come here again and point out some of these issues that they are still happening. They've been happening for a very long time. Our people have been disadvantaged for a very long time. This is really unacceptable. Something must be done. The e-channel system that you are saying is, you have installed in provinces, and some provinces do have regional satellites. How does it work? And do you have challenges in terms of connections? Because some regional offices or provincial offices are situated in the far deep rural areas. If you can just also highlight on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Young Lord.
Young Blood.
Young Blood. Yes. Oh, my God. Lord, okay. Oh, that's actually nice. Young Blood is easy. Come on. Over to you.
Thanks, Chi. I'm an African. I'm an Afrikaans Young Blood, so it's Young Blood. But I don't mind if you call me Young Blood. Sounds better. I'm really deeply concerned when I listen